Hi, I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and this is Toxic Free Talk Radio, where we talk about how to thrive in a toxic world and live toxic free. It's a gorgeous summer day here in Clearwater, Florida. It's the 1st of July, 2014. And this morning I just posted, well, actually announced. Now, I was going to tell you to just go to my website at toxicfreeqa.com and read my Declaration of Independence for Toxic Chemicals, from Toxic Chemicals. But I just realized that it isn't at the top of the list. I posted it a couple of years ago. But if you just go to toxicfreetalkradio.com and go to the search box and type in independence, and it will come up, I think, as the first item. It's independence from toxic chemicals. And in there, I talk about the whole idea of independence and freedom and why we have the right to be toxic free. And there's some interesting things about the Declaration of Independence, which is one of my favorite documents of all time. And, you'll just learn a little bit more about me by reading that. So I invite you to do that this week of independence in America. I'm very excited today. I should say I'm very inspired, because I just spent the last hour watching a film about growing food in cities. It's a documentary film, and I invited my guest to be on the show today because he's the director of the film, and they have been accepted to be on public broadcasting, American public broadcasting, all PBS stations all over America. Except here's the catch. They have to come up with all the production costs themselves, and it's $30,000, and they have to come up with it by July 9th. So we're going to be talking about the issue of growing food in cities, or the opportunity of growing, the wonderfulness of growing food in cities and in your own backyard, and of people, all of us, taking responsibility for feeding ourselves and our community. We're going to talk about that during the show today, but I also invite you to go to toxicfreetalkradio.com and scroll down till you see their video. Their Kickstarter video is right there on my website. There's also a link to their Kickstarter page. And if you'd like to make a contribution towards the $30,000, that would help them get this out there. It's a fabulous, fabulous film. I was inspired by every second of it, and we're going to talk about that on the show today. So, hello, Dan. Thanks for being with me.
Hey, no problem. Thanks for having me, and all the really nice and kind words you've said about the film already.
Well, I'm going to say more. Because it really is, what an accomplishment and what an inspiration. I just, well, tell us I saw it in the film, so I know the story, but tell our listeners how you became interested. What inspired you to make a film about urban farming?
Yeah. So I was really interested in sustainable agriculture. You know, just kind of all throughout growing up, I grew pumpkins in the backyard with my mom and my dad. And, so from a young age, kind of was interested. And in college, worked on some farms and, you know, basically just kind of decided, hey, this is what my passion is. This is what I want to learn more about. My partner, Andrew Mombaquette, he was really interested in filmmaking, and then kind of dedicated his life to really trying to do that. And we grew up together in Omaha, Nebraska. And after college, we kind of just came back together, and he really wanted to make films, and I really wanted to learn more about urban farming and sustainable agriculture. So we kind of just combined our passions. And 4 years later, this is where we're at.
Well, what a great accomplishment. Just a great accomplishment. I have some experience myself. You're welcome. I have some experience myself with growing food, and I used to live in California, so I was very interested that the first city that you went to as having a lot of urban agriculture was San Francisco. And I was born in the San Francisco Bay Area and lived there until 13 years ago when I moved to Florida. And you're right when you state in the film that there are a lot of people doing a lot of creative things about how they garden and how they farm even. I remember, I don't know if it's still there, but I remember on 4th Street in Berkeley, there used to be, I don't remember the name of it, but there one of the lots, instead of having a store there, maybe this was just when they were still building it up, but one of the lots that was empty had a farm right there where they had like flats on racks. And they were growing lettuce and herbs and things like that, and that you could just go there and buy just right out of the flats. And it wasn't seedlings. It was actually you could buy a full head of lettuce out of these boxes. And I thought that that was one of the coolest things, that you could actually buy a fully grown live plant instead of going to the supermarket or even a natural food store and buying a harvested head of lettuce. You could just like buy it right out of the ground. Or right out of the box. And one of the things that I thought was so wonderful about that is that you can grow things in a box anywhere. You can grow things in a bag. I have a lot of permaculture friends, and one of the permaculture things is you just buy a bag of compost and split it open and plant things in it. Anybody could do that anywhere. You know, and that's one of the messages, I think, that I was so impressed with in your film, was that you go all around the country and you show all these great examples of people in different walks of life and economic situations. And I was taking notes while I was watching the film because I wanted to bring up different things. And I think the thing that most impressed me was the scene when you were talking about that people had just put compost over the cement. And that's what they were, you know, it's like you don't even have to have a park or something. You just put down compost on the cement and start growing things.
Totally. Yeah, there's so many different ways to do it. I mean, it's incredible how creative people get. I mean, when you're presented with challenges, you know, like you are typically in the urban environment, whether that's space or, you know, a not great soil, you know, medium to grow in, you know, whatever it might be, people are, you know, figuring out really creative ways, whether that's, you know, putting soil down on old basketball courts, like you're saying, or rooftop farms, or, you know, vertical gardens on walls. You know, there's so many different solutions for growing in small amounts of space. And, you know, and whether you're in an urban environment or not, you know, I think people even grow in windowsills, you know, inside. They don't have a yard at all. Right. So, you know, I think it's, there's a lot of opportunities. It's pretty easy to focus on the challenges, but there's so many opportunities that we have. And, you know, that's what the approach the film takes. It's really, solutions oriented and, you know, really shows, you know, what people can do in their own communities, to grow and, to really make their communities better by growing food. So, and I think you saw that in the film, but it's something where we, you know, kind of getting back to your first sort of question, like, you know, we had seen so many problems and so many films and media that really showed the problems in the food system and what was wrong with what we were doing. And we really just felt like it was time to put a spotlight on the people who were doing things right, and the farmers and activists and, you know, so many people, you know, community gardeners. I mean, everyday people, really, were doing, you know, really making their communities better by the simple act of growing food.
Well, we need to go to our break, but we'll come back and we'll talk more about this. This is Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Gadd. And my guest today is Dan Sussman. He's the director of the film, documentary film Growing Cities. And he's trying to get funds together to be on PBS across the country. They need $30,000 by July 9th. You can go to ToxicFreeTalkRadio.com and see their Kickstarter video and get the link and make a contribution if you'd like. We'll be right back. He's the director of a documentary film called Growing Cities, all about urban farming, and they have a Kickstarter campaign. They need to raise $30,000 by July 9th in order to get their film on PBS across the country. But if you go to, just go to my website, toxicfreetalkradio.com, and scroll down, and you'll see a link to their Kickstarter. It's kind of hard to remember, or I would give it out over the air, but just go and click and see what their offers are. See their trailer. See they've got a list of all the things that those $30,000 needs to go to. They've got, you'll see their, big block of awards for the film. There's more information about growing cities, urban agriculture, all of it. It's a good supplement to this show to go and take a look at that page. And you can make a donation as small as $1. Every little bit helps. So, Dan, I wanted to ask you, could you just tell us, I was trying to figure out the difference between, like, the definition. When you talk about urban farming, the first thing that comes to my mind is people having farms in a city where they're feeding other people in the community. But you, in watching the film, I saw that you had some examples of backyard farming where I thought that, I mean, backyard gardening, where I didn't think he was feeding other people. It looked like that you were referring to people growing food in their own backyards or digging up their front lawns or, you know, just all opportunities, I guess, for growing food in the community. What is your definition of urban farming?
Yeah, that's a good question. That's one we get quite a lot. I mean, just because, people kind of define it in different ways. And, you know, for us, we're really inclusive about it. You know, I think you can tell by the film, probably.
Yeah.
There's so many different examples of people growing food, you know, as you said, in their backyards or on vacant lots, community gardens, you know, in so many different ways. So we try to be as inclusive as possible with that definition. But basically, we say anybody who's grown food in the urban environment or even suburban areas, you know, they're an urban farm. You know, that's not to discredit farmers who are really, you know, that's their job and that's what they do every day. I think, you know, that's something where, you know, we, you know, really value what they're doing. And, you know, by with that definition, I guess we just try to be as inclusive as possible, because it is really this is a movement, and, you know, people are growing food for so many different reasons and, you know, so many different ways that, to us, you know, whether they're growing it for themselves, their family, their neighbors, sort of the broader community or for sale, you know, everybody's growing food. And I think that's the important part, and they're, you know, making their communities better. So, you know, I would say, yeah, we tend to be most inclusive about it and, you know, not worry too much about definitions, I guess, is the long and the short of it.
Well, I guess I'm just thinking about, you know, it sounds like this is a new thing, but as one person said in the film, it's just what people have been doing all along. It has a new name. And so I think about, like, my grandmother. I've said this before on the show, but it bears repeating a lot. My grandmother had a huge garden, which she and my grandfather tended for many, many years, just in their own backyard. And they had trees, fruit trees. One of my earliest memories was my grandfather picking me up so that I could pick my own peach off the tree. And how delicious that warm peach was, just, you know, heated by the sun, really the ripest one that he found for me, and then picking me up to pick it. And that's part of my food memories. And I think that a lot of people don't have those kinds of memories. But
it used to be commonplace for people to be growing food in their backyards. Like, I live in Florida in a neighborhood that is, my house was built in 1940, but all the backyards have old fruit trees in them. Everybody has citrus trees around here. It's just, if a house was built in a certain time period, it's got citrus trees in the backyard. The brand new houses don't. And so it's just, there was a time when everybody grew food and victory gardens, you know, that it was just part of what you did. And then we lost all that and we stopped growing food. And I'm not saying everybody stopped, but it stopped being, you know, part of what everybody did. I remember when I lived in California, I lived in a small rural community. And one of the things that I loved was that a neighbor gave me raspberry canes for my garden. I grew a lot of food in that garden. And my neighbor gave me raspberry canes, and they multiplied and multiplied and multiplied. But everywhere you went, all my neighbors had my neighbor's raspberry canes. And it was just wonderful to know, you know, that I was eating one neighbor's tomatoes and another neighbor's raspberry canes. And it was raspberries. And it was just a lovely thing that really tied our community together, you know, to be sharing those plants. And that's not so common as it used to be. And that's the kind of things that I thought of when I was watching your film. Was about, I recently had it's been difficult for me to make the transition in Florida because I'm accustomed to growing in California. Mm-hmm, and so, so I have some herbs, but I haven't been as successful with some things as I was in California. But the other day I had bought, a box of mint tea bags from the store. And I was walking up my back steps where I have my little herb garden, and I went, wait a minute, why did I buy mint tea bags when I could grow it? And I immediately went down and bought mint plants and put them in pots. And, you know, it's just, I think a lot of it is just changing the way we think, individuals.
Yeah.
Realizing that we can grow food.
Yeah, no, totally. Everything I think you said is really spot on. I think that, you know, especially with when you're talking about, it's really been happening for a long time, just like you said. I mean, this has been happening since World War I, World War II. I mean, you know, as you see in the film, we kind of go over it pretty quickly, but
you do.
It isn't new. Yeah.
It is.
I mean, it's exciting.
We need to go to break. Sorry to interrupt you, but we need to go to break and we'll come right back. This is Toxic Food Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd. My guest today is Dan Sussman. We're talking about his documentary film, Growing Cities. And you can go to ToxicFreeTalkRadio.com and find out more. We'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd. And my guest today is Dan Sussman. He's the director of Growing Cities, a documentary film. And they are doing a Kickstarter campaign because they've been invited to be on PBS, but they have to pay $30,000 in production fees in order to do that. So you can help them out by going to ToxicFreeTalkRadio.com and clicking on their Kickstarter page and finding out all about how you can make a donation if you'd like to do that. Dan, I have a question for you. So I have a fairly large backyard, and I could rip out all my lawn after seeing your film. I wanted to do exactly that. But I had chickens. I had, past tense, chickens, which was one of the most wonderful experiences that I've ever had. And it was so great to be able to go out in the backyard and feed my chickens, and they would lay eggs, and then I would eat the eggs, and I just knew the whole life cycle of that egg. I knew exactly what that chicken had eaten, and there was no pesticides, there was no whatever else they put on eggs, and they were delicious. They were wonderful. And then the police came and took them away. And I was wondering if you have any comments about different cities having different regulations, how people get around that. Any thoughts on what the regulations should be? Anything on that subject?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I'm sorry to hear that. That's unfortunately, it's kind of the story that's too common, I think. You know, I think in general, the laws in cities and towns and everything are, you know, generally moving in the right direction, I think. You know, there's a lot of places that are legalizing backyard chickens and goats and rabbits and, you know, all these things that you wouldn't think, you know, you can have in a backyard. But actually, when you think about it, you know, like you're describing, you know, a chicken is a lot less dangerous than, you know, a Rottweiler or a pit bull.
Yes.
And, you know, it's a lot nicer, too, because instead of just picking up its poop, you know, you get to just go and collect the eggs in the morning.
Yes.
You know, there's, in terms of why it makes sense that these laws are there, you know, I don't think it really, you know, makes any sense, except that, you know, there's a lot of places that are, in my hometown, I think, is one of them, you know, here in Nebraska, where really a farm state, and I think there's this fear in a lot of cities and towns that are in the Midwest, but also, you know, just more generally in suburbs and areas like that, where they're really afraid that people are going to think, oh, you know, they're still back in the dark ages, they're still farming, you know, so city leaders are saying, well, we need to make laws so make sure nobody has chickens or, you know, does that, whereas, you know, these big metropolises, like, you know, places like San Francisco and New York City and, you know, these types of places, the biggest cities and most urban places we have are actually saying, oh, yeah, sure, you can have chickens. Sure, you can have, you know, a goat or, you know, if you get the right permit, you know. So I think it's really this sort of reaction, this sort of backlash to, oh, we don't want you know, people to seem backwards or something when in fact it's like you're describing, it's so much more. It's more about how do we take control of our food and know what's inside of that. And so I think in general we've seen a lot of cities, a lot of people coming together, neighbors saying, you know, going to their city councils and saying, hey, this law doesn't make sense. We should be able to have chickens in our backyard. In particular, there's one place, this woman up in Seattle, Jenny Grant, she formed something called the Goat Justice League, which they advocated to make goats legal in backyards in Seattle. And she, you know, had these big protests and, you know, they'd walk goats around and, you know, worked with city leaders in the end and got a bill passed so, you know, they could actually have, you know, goats in the city. So, you know, I think there's numerous examples of that.
Yes, there are.
You know, I think lots of people with the same story as you, and, you know, it's unfortunate because so many people feel like they're alone and like, well, what do I do to, you know, how can I fight this? It doesn't make sense. But there's a lot of inspiration and help to draw on from other places, I think.
I think so, too. And I think that one of the things that's inspiring about your film is that you really show it's Independence Day coming up on Friday, and you really show our right to grow our own food, that we should all have the freedom to grow our own food and why. And it's something that we're designed to do as human beings, that we've been growing our own food for millennia. And yet today, most people have other people growing their food and are dependent upon the availability of food for the food distribution system. If that were, you know, one of the reasons why I started learning how to grow food when I was living in California was that I had this idea that if, and I'm not saying this is going to happen, but if our food system were to collapse, that has happened in places in the world. If our food system were to collapse, I wanted to know how to grow food. I just wanted to know. And when you look at the quality of food that we get in the world today, I just had an epiphany. I've had lots of epiphanies in my life, but recently I had an epiphany. It was just like I asked, what would be my ideal food to eat. And what what I got was fresh, whole, organic vegetables right out of the ground. That would be the ideal thing. And I've eaten that kind of food, and I always love it. And I always go, yes, this is great. And yet, I'm not even growing those. I'm not even growing it in my own backyard, in part because I don't know how to grow here. And yet, I could learn how to do that. Everybody could learn how to do that. There are people who know how to grow here. Just because I spent most of my life in California doesn't mean that I can't learn this. And then my other excuse is I don't have time. But what am I doing with my time? Not that I'm frittering my time away doing useless things. But I'm one person living by myself. And to do all the things that one needs to do to maintain a home and you know, earn money to pay the bills and all those things, to also maintain a garden, oh, my God. But, you know, there's... I do know that there are people who don't have land that want to come and work in a garden. And I think that if I were to like really think this out, I could grow so much more food than I could possibly eat
here
and share it with the people who come and help me to grow it.
Absolutely.
Here we are at another break.
Oh, so quick.
I know, it is so quick. And I'm doing all the talking. I need to let you talk more.
It's okay. I'll try to jump in more.
I love this subject and I love your film. We are going to go to break. This is Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Gadd, and my guest today is Dan Sussman, and I promise I'll let him talk more in the next segment. We'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Gadd, and my guest today is Dan Sussman, director of Growing Cities, the movie. I just discovered that you actually have a website, growingcitiesmovie.com, and you can go. I was looking for that, but you know, it wasn't on the press release that I could find. Anyway, you can go to growingcitiesmovie.com. You can find out more about the film. There's also a list of screenings, and it also gives you information on how you can host a screening, how to find a screening, how to host a screening. You can just find out all about this. And there's also a link there to their Kickstarter campaign. That's growingcitiesmovie.com. Dan, would you tell us about food justice and food security?
Yeah, definitely. Thanks for the shout out to our website. I was going to mention it eventually. food justice, food security, I think, are some of the biggest issues here in especially in urban agriculture and farming in cities. You know, it's this idea that you know, everyone should have the opportunity to access fresh and healthy food, regardless of their income level or background or, you know, where they live. So, you know, food security, you know, people have often heard of like food deserts, you know, these places where, there's very little access to fresh, healthy foods. And, you know, that often happens, in, you know, the inner city, although there's plenty of food deserts that are in the rural environment as well. So many of the projects we visited were, you know, occurred in these places where it's, you know, miles and miles to reach a grocery store. And then maybe even that store doesn't even have, you know, really, you know, high quality produce or, you know, any of the types of things you'd want to really live a healthy lifestyle. So, you know, in a lot of those places, you have people who get their groceries from a gas station. So, you know, that's, when you think about what's available at the gas station, candy, chips, soda, you know, that's about it. So, literally people are living off of that. So I think that's where, you know, urban agriculture and community gardening can really, especially in people's lives who don't have access or don't have the monetary, funds in order to access that food, then, you know, this can bring it straight to them. You know, it's in the community. It's something that where they're, you know, often growing, people can grow the food themselves. It's, you know, affordable. You know, it certainly takes some time, but in terms of the benefit, you see so many. And even in terms of just improving the community itself, things like housing values go up, and, you know, next to a garden, and all sorts of sort of auxiliary benefits besides just the food itself. So I think that's pretty cool. But I think in, you know, a lot of the cities we visited, you know, there's, you know, people who are, you know, working with folks who are just out of prison, for instance, like in Chicago, you saw in the film, folks who, you know, convicts who, you know, they weren't necessarily had violent crimes or anything, but just, you know, made a mistake when they were young and, you know, maybe they, you know, had problems with substance abuse or something like that. And, you know, it's really hard for those types of people to get a job, you know, when they get out of prison. So, you know, there's an organization in Chicago called Growing Home, which works with those people and gives them jobs, teaches them skills, through the gardening as this sort of tool to teach them. So, you know, that's part of food justice. I mean, things like working with kids and, you know, there's a place called Our School at Third Grocery, which is also featured in the film, which works with kids and teaches them about, growing food, but also how to market it and sell it and, you know, all the sort of skills, math, public speaking, you know, so on and so forth that go along with you know, running a business. So, you know, I think food is often, you'll find in the film, food is the tool to really achieve a goal, you know, so whether that's teaching kids mm-hmm. or working with people who can't afford fresh, healthy food or, you know, whatever it might be. I think what we show in the film is there's just this wonderful possibility to use food as a tool to make your community a better place to live.
I really see that, and that's been my experience too here. Several years ago, someone started a gardening group where what we wanted to do was help people learn how to grow food in our community. What were the skills? And my best friends I made in that group. Being somebody who had just moved here. And we don't have that group anymore for a variety of reasons, but I learned a lot and I met people and I still feel like a community with them. And because there's something about, you know, growing the food and eating it and having potlucks and having people say, "Oh, here's my salad with my flowers that I grew," and we all go, you know, and it gives you something wholesome is the word that comes to mind. It gives you all something wholesome to do together, and something that helps everybody, and something that improves your health. And the community. And I wanted to say earlier when you were talking about people not being able to afford food, a packet of seeds costs practically nothing, a dollar or two.
Yeah.
And anyone can take a packet of seeds and a pot of soil and grow something. And it's so much mm-hmm. more economical. You can eat the best organic food for pennies because it doesn't cost a lot of money to grow your food. You just buy the seeds, you plant it, you water it, you take care of it, and then you have food. And so this whole idea that you have to have lots of money in order to buy food at the supermarket, it's not mm-hmm. really true, you know? And I think that people don't see the economic benefits of that. I mean, like they had Victory Gardens, we should be having, I mean, in our economic times, everybody should be growing food just for the economic reasons.
Sure. Yeah, no, you're so right. It's just, the economics of it is, you know, you need to have time, which I think that's the hidden thing. You know, you need to have that time. You can't be working three jobs and have to pick up your kids at school and, you know, all those other things. But you're so right in terms of just all the people who are unemployed and who can't find work and are tough on their luck and, you know, all these things. You know, why don't we look at farming as a viable career option? Why don't we look at that? Because, you know, one, we'd be employing people. Two, we'd be providing fresh food in places that need it the most. So there is an incredible, incredible opportunity there, especially in the urban environment where you have waste coming straight from the city, could go into the farms, could be using people who are usually thought of as, you know, useless to society. So, you have this wonderful cycle that could take place and is starting to take hold in some places, but, you know, need so much more support. So I think you hit it right on the head.
Well, I was just thinking while you were talking about back in the Depression, there was something called the CCC, the Citizens Conservation Corps, I think it was. And and the government hired people to do conservation projects, environmental conservation projects. And there could be all kinds of programs hiring people to grow food in any kind of urban, suburban, even rural environment. And just put people to work growing food. I think it would be a great idea. So we only have a couple of minutes left, but what was your most inspirational to you? What was the thing that really tugged your heart, the one thing that you visited that is was most memorable to you?
Yeah, you know, I think I mentioned them earlier just really briefly, but, you know, the group down in New Orleans, our school of Blair Grocery, I think you saw, you know, at the end of the film with... what they do is they work with youth in the Lower Ninth Ward, you know, which was the place that was hit hardest by Katrina. And you say, Katrina, when was that? Well, it was a long time ago. But even when we were filming, you know, in 2011, which was 7 years after it hit, Katrina looked like it had been hit, like, last week. Or, sorry, the Lower Ninth Ward looked like it had been hit, like, last week. So it's just, you know, a place which has almost been left behind, and but there's still families there. There's still kids there, you know. So, you know, those kids are left in this place where it's very dangerous for them to grow up. You know, they're carrying guns around as young as 8 or 9 or 10 years old. We heard some of those stories, and I think that really, you know, touched me because it was like, wow, I can't even begin to relate to where these kids are at. But at the same time, to see, you know, using food as this way to give them something to do and give them a safe space and give them, you know, the attention they need as kids to really flourish and grow, I think was really special and powerful to me. So, you know, I think that was probably one of the most touching and really hit it home for me in terms of, wow, you know, this can really... You know, farming and growing food can really make an impact on people's lives and not only change these kids' lives, but really change and empower that entire neighborhood.
Yes, tears are coming to my eyes as you're talking about that. It's just, yes, food can just be transformational in a lot of ways, and especially empowering people to do that basic thing for themselves. Well, we've only got just a few seconds left now. So I'll just say thank you so much for being on the show. And again, you should go to his website, growingcitiesmovie.com. And not only will you find out about the movie and the Kickstarter campaign, but there's also a lot of information if you go to learn. Lots of resources. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd. Be well.